Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and our guest today in studio is Greg Steer, the founder and CEO of Dare to Share Ministries. Greg's passion for reaching youth with the gospel grew out of his own conversion experience, having grown up in a violent inner-city family. He was conceived as the result of a one-night stand, has never met his biological father. At the age of 8, he watched in amazement as one of his uncles, a habitual criminal, heard the gospel and was saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. His uncle's conversion led Greg's whole family to faith and inspired Greg to pursue pastoral ministry. But it was the events of April 25, 1999, and the shootings at Columbine High School that compelled Greg to leave the pulpit and found Dare to Share. Since that time, Greg has spoken to more than 1 million teens about the saving grace that only Jesus Christ can bring. Greg and his wife Debbie have been married for 26 years, and they're the parents of 2 children, their son Jeremy and their daughter Kaylee. Here now is Dr. James Dobson to introduce our guest on today's edition of Family Talk.
Somebody asked me the other day, I thought your purpose was to build strong families. Well, as a matter of fact, it is, and we talk a lot about that, about marriage and parenthood and the sanctity of human life and those things. But, you know, what good does it help to build strong families if the people don't know the Creator of families, if they don't know where they're going to be in eternity, and if they don't know the Scripture? And so that is really the foundation of what we're trying to do, is to introduce people to Christ. You get that figured out, and you've got the answers to most of the questions that we encounter. And so, again, that's where we're going today. Now, to help us discuss this topic today, we have Greg Steer with us. He is the founder of the youth ministry called Dare to Share. And then the vision of that ministry is to see every teen everywhere hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to hear it from a friend. Does that summarize it, Greg?
That's it. That's it. That's exactly what we want to see. Every teen hearing the good news of Jesus Christ from a friend.
That's a pretty tall order. And that is the passion of your heart, isn't it?
There's 1 billion teenagers worldwide, and the vast majority of them do not know Jesus Christ. And It is the gospel that changes everything. You know, the gospel changed my life, changed my family's life. The good news that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and that by faith alone in him, we have life now and life forever. That's pretty good news.
Now, you've written 20 books, I believe, and one of them is called Dare to Share. It's got a subtitle. I don't have it. What is it?
It's a field guide to sharing your faith.
Okay, and you've left me one here. You and I have met once before at the National Day of Prayer in Washington, but I don't believe that we have had any time together, but I like what you stand for, I'll tell you that, and I'm delighted you're here. The book that you left here that you have obviously recently written.
Yes.
Which is Gospelize Your Youth Ministry.
Yeah, and so the goal is to help youth leaders build youth ministries that aren't just entertainment centers, but where students are trained, equipped, and mobilized to share Christ with their friends, to make disciples, and to give them a mission and a vision before, you know, beyond playing dodgeball and eating pizza and having a short talk. Let's mobilize these students for the gospel of Christ.
I'm particularly taken by your background and your childhood. You've got a very unusual story to tell, and one that's almost hard to believe. You grew up in kind of a slummy area, didn't you, in Denver?
Yeah, I was raised in the highest crime rate area of the city in North Denver, and my family, I don't come from a typical religious, church-going, pew-sitting, hymn-singing family. I come from a family filled with bodybuilding, tobacco-chewing, beer-drinking thugs. And that's just the women. I mean, it was a tough family growing up. My family was in and out of jail. We saw a lot of police officers growing up. My family was really in a downward spiral. The Denver Mafia knew my uncles as the Crazy Brothers, So when the mafia thinks your family is dysfunctional, that is not good, right? So I had five uncles, and my mom was the only girl in the group, and she would brawl with the best of them. She was a fighter too, and she lived a wild life. I was a result of a short-term relationship she had with a guy in the Army. He found out she was pregnant. He got transferred, so I never met my biological father. And so my family
was— To this day?
To this day. No, he died a long time ago, but I never met him. And a preacher—
How old were you during this phase?
Probably 8 to 10 years old. A preacher from the suburbs in Arvada, I lived in Denver at the time, reached out. His nickname was Yankee Arnold. He spoke with a southern accent, but his nickname was Yankee. Planted a church in the suburbs of Denver, and on a dare from a guy named Bob Daly, went to my Uncle Jack to tell him about Christ. And my Uncle Jack had been in and out of prison his whole life, once for choking two police officers unconscious who were trying to arrest him on assault charges. Spent time in the prison for the criminally insane. He was a bodybuilder, tattoos everywhere, big lamb chop sideburns, talk like this. He was always in fights and always in trouble with the law. Well, Yankee went to his house on a dare, knocked on the door. Jack came to the door, no shirt on, tattoos everywhere, two beer cans, one for drinking beer, one for spitting chew. And he said, "What do you want?" He goes, "My name's Yankee Arnold. I'm here on a dare from Bob Daly to tell you about Jesus." Jack said, "Well, I don't know Jesus, but I know Bob, so I'll give you 5 minutes." And they sat down at the kitchen table, and for the first time, Jack heard the gospel, that it wasn't religion, it wasn't trying harder, it wasn't turning over a new leaf. It was by being a sinner, recognizing you're a sinner, recognizing that Jesus died in your place for your sin, and if you put your faith in him, you're saved. And Yankee said, "Does that make sense?" And these are his words, not mine. He said, "Hell yeah." That was a sinner's prayer, was hell yeah. Jack trusted in Christ, and his life was absolutely transformed. And one by one by one, it was like a bunch of dominoes that fell. My whole family eventually came to Christ because of one preacher named Yankee.
Because one guy had the courage to knock on the door.
One guy had the courage to knock on the door.
Were you there?
I was not in the house at the time when that happened, but all of us knew about it. And then my Uncle Bob, who was a 6'3", 280-pound bouncer in inner-city Denver, his best friend got stabbed 5 times. He found the guy, beat the guy to death, got thrown in the back of the squad car. As the paramedics were trying to resuscitate him, he knew he was going to jail for the rest of his life. So he called out to God, because by this time he had heard the gospel. Yeah. He said, "God, if they resuscitate him, I'll believe in your son and I'll serve you." And they did, and he did. A year later, he was at Florida Bible College. And so I was a little kid, and 9, 10 years old, watching the power of the gospel literally transform my entire family. And so people talk about social programs or moral reformation or even political transformation, which is all good and needed. But really, all of that flows out of spiritual transformation, and all of that flows out of the gospel.
Now, what about your mother? Where did she come to Christ?
So my mom felt super guilty. Because when she found out she was pregnant with me, she drove from Denver to Boston to have an illegal abortion because she didn't want her strict parents to know about me. And my grandparents found out, said, "We know you're pregnant. You come back and have that kid, and we'll help you raise him." And for years, I wondered why, when my mom would look at me, she would oftentimes just burst into tears. It's because she almost aborted me. And my grandmother told me that eventually. My mom never knew that I knew that she almost aborted me. And I knew my mom felt really guilty for that. So I began to share the gospel with her because I went to Yankee's church and Yankee trained me how to share the gospel. And so from the time I was—
Yankee was the guy who knocked on the door.
Yankee was the guy who knocked on the door. And he trained me to share the gospel. So I began to share Christ. And mom would say, "God can never forgive me for the things I've done wrong." And I remember when I was 15 years old, sitting across the kitchen table from her, she was smoking a cigarette. I said, "Mom, Jesus died for you." She goes, "You don't know the things I've done wrong." I go, "It doesn't matter. It's all nailed to the cross. And if you put your faith in him, he will forgive you right now." And I'll never forget, she took a drag from that cigarette. She said, "All right, I'll put my faith in him." And my mom, her life was transformed from that moment on. And I'll never forget that transformation.
You know, Greg, people don't believe stories like that. They sound like evangelism run amok. The truth of the matter is that happened.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah. And I count it an honor to see my mom come to Christ. 13 years ago, she was in hospice for 40 days and 40 nights. and we had a lot of conversations. I just stayed there. And she said, do you remember what you used to say to the kids in the neighborhood who would make fun of you for not having a dad? I said, I don't remember. She said, you used to say, God's my daddy. And I said, Ma, I don't remember saying that, but I remember feeling it. Because as soon as I put my faith in Christ, I was adopted into the heavenly family.
How old were you when you did that?
I was actually 8 when I put my faith in Christ. Yeah. It literally gave me a purpose and a hope and a vision to see that gospel get out to other people, especially when I saw my family transformed.
Was that real to you, Greg? When you prayed that prayer, did you have a sense that the God of the universe and his son, Jesus Christ, heard you and loved you and forgave you?
I'll never forget the moment, because I told my grandmother in the truck on the way home from church, I said, Grandma, I understood the gospel today. And she wrote down in my red little Bible, my King James Version Bible, June 23rd, 1974, Greg Steer received Christ as a Savior. And I still have that Bible with me. And I'll never forget that day, because that was the day I got my daddy. And it was my earthly daddy. It was my heavenly father.
Was that passion for evangelism born at that moment, or did it come much later?
I think it came a few years later, because I got involved in Yankee's youth ministry a couple years later. Yankee had a youth ministry that had 800 students in the youth ministry. There was only 300 adults in the church. But Yankee, even though he was the pastor, he had a passion for teenagers, because he said they come to Christ quicker, they spread the gospel faster than adults. And so we were trained and equipped to share our faith and to share the gospel. Every Friday night, we'd go out and share the gospel at local malls. We would share Christ with our friends. And that's how the youth group grew so big, is because we were trained and equipped. And for a kid who was from the inner city, who didn't know his dad, who didn't know his purpose, all of a sudden, I have a heavenly father who loves me unconditionally, and I have a purpose, and that is to make and multiply disciples. And so we're in this youth ministry, and we're seeing kids come there. I don't remember a week where somebody didn't come to Christ, and it was just part of the DNA, and it was so exciting to be part of a youth ministry like that. I went to Yankee when I was 15, and I said, Yankee, why don't we train other churches how to do this? And he's like, well, he was busy, you know, he's running a big ministry. He goes, you know, you can do that. And so I called around to get a hold of churches. I got a hold of Community Baptist Church, talked to the youth pastor, Clay Stone. I said, hey, I'm 15. I go to this youth group. Have you heard of us? He goes, everybody's heard of you. You're the biggest youth group in Colorado. I said, can I come train your students how to share their faith? And so he goes, what are you doing Wednesday night? I'm riding my bike down. And I rode my bike there and I trained those students how to share their faith. And I think that's kind of where the heart for Dare to Share came, is if we can multiply and raise up an army of students to spread the gospel.
Yankee is still a pastor.
Yankee is—
How old is he now?
He's 76 years old. Just talked to him today on the phone. Yankee is still preaching the gospel, still doing youth camps, still leading people to Christ. He's got a radio show, and he's going for it, spreading the gospel. He's like, I'm 76 years. I still have plenty of time left to reach as many people for Christ as possible. But all I know, Dr. Dobson, is he reached my family for Christ, and I am so grateful. And he trained. He believed in me. I'll never forget. He was walking down the hallways of the church one day, and he had his old Schofield King James Reference Bible underneath his arm. And he's walking real fast, and he looked at me, and he goes, you're going to reach the world for Christ someday, young fella. And I knew he said it 1,000 times to 1,000 different students, and I knew he believed in it. And he believed in me, and he believed in us. And that's the reason I'm doing Dare to Share today, is because Yankee believed in the power of the gospel, and he believed in the potential of teenagers.
You know, we hear that America's youth have gone to hell. We hear about the millennial generation, how they don't believe in anything, how they spend their time on the cell phone and worse things, that they're all involved in drugs and things like that. And there's no way that they will open their hearts to a Jesus Christ who tells them to give up everything and follow him. Mm. They will still do it, won't they?
Oh, my goodness. There are so many teenagers today. I read the statistics, and I understand we have a problem, but we also have potential. And we're seeing so many teenagers and youth ministries grab a hold of what I call a radical paradigm that's 2,000 years old. It's really the book of Acts. It's praying as a youth group. It's reaching out as a youth group. It's making and multiplying disciples. I believe if we can do that, Think about this, Dr. Dobson. There's 300,000 churches in America. There's 13,000 Starbucks, right? So tell me how 13,000 Starbucks can flood this nation with caffeine and lattes, and we can't flood this nation with 300,000 churches with the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially mobilizing our young people. You know, Mormons do that. I mean, you look at young Mormons, they go on a two-year mission trip, right? When they graduate from high school, and they go door to door and they spread the message of Mormonism. Well, what if we looked at our students in high school as going on a 3 or 4 year mission to proclaim the gospel of Christ? And I believe as we're seeing that happen, kids are keeping their faith, they're staying in their faith, they're growing in their faith, because all of a sudden they have a mission and a cause and a purpose.
Some years ago, I wrote a book called Life on the Edge. It's written for those between 16 and 26. It's to help bridge the gap between adolescence and adulthood. It's been a very successful book. It's still out there. I don't say that to either sell anything or to promote anything. I can just tell you that what I believe in and what you and I are talking about today is, in my own words, in that message of that book. But my publisher, Word Publishers, before they brought it out, wanted to make sure it was on target. They brought a number of focus groups together. They were made up of young people because that's who the book was written for. And they asked them, what matters to you most? What do you care about most? And they got answers that came around the table. Do you know the number one thing they said is that we don't have meaning in our lives.
Wow.
They saw it. These are not Christian kids, as far as we know. These are just ordinary kids, some of them off the street. But asking them, what do you care about? What's missing in your life? And they said, meaning. And why would they have meaning when they're told that they come from an accident of nature? There's no design. There's no designer. No one loves me. There was no plan. There is no meaning in my life. And what you are talking about is, if you will bring meaning to the younger generation, they will accept it because they're hungry for it.
So hungry.
They're waiting for it. There's no meaning in video games and all of the nonsense that kids are involved in today. But they want to know, where am I going? Who made me? Why did he make me? Is there a plan to my life? Is there something I should be doing with it? Is there life after death? How do I find it? Like the rich young rulers, and how do I find eternal life? The same questions are out there. All we have to do is answer them, and the kids will come. They will follow. You're proof of it.
Well, I'm proof of it. And, you know, what's exciting to me is I believe we're on the brink of a potential revival and spiritual awakening. And I think it's time. It's time to see these students rise up, to give them the answer to those questions and to arm them with that purpose and that mission. As a matter of fact, on September 23rd, we're going to do something at Dare to Share that's unprecedented in youth ministry. It's called Dare to Share Live. And the goal is to gather 50,000 teenagers in one day, to train them, to equip them, to mobilize them, to share the gospel. And we can, you know, curse against technology. Well, we're going to take Satan's tool and use it against him. We're going to have these students upload Snapchat, Instagram, gospel conversation starting videos through social media to create gospel conversations through Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. We're going to unleash them to collect canned food and share the gospel. We're going to come back and we're going to pray for revival in this nation collectively, 50,000 teenagers, God willing, all at the exact same moment, asking God for revival on September 23rd. And that next Wednesday is the See at the Pole rally event. And we're going to say, all those friends you began a gospel conversation with, bring. And that, we believe, is going to help bring that meaning and those answers to those questions of, you know, is there a God? Why am I here? Well, the best one to navigate that conversation with a teenager is another teenager. And so what if we mobilized our young people to do just that? And so I am encouraged. I know there's the statistics we read, but we are the church. We are the bride of Christ. We have weapons of righteousness in our right hands and our left. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have a bunch of teenagers that are just bored with typical church. They want to do something. Well, why can't we seize that activism and turn it toward the gospel? And that's exactly what we're seeing happen. That's what we're praying happens through Dare to Share Live. And we just believe God can create a revival. We want to see it again.
Do you think you can give them a reason for living?
Yeah.
Beyond fun, beyond sex, beyond drugs, beyond all those things that don't satisfy. Can you replace that with a love for Jesus Christ and a desire to serve him?
Yes. And I think what Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. So when we are like Jesus, when we become like Jesus, we carry his search and rescue mission along with us. So you frame it to a teenager like this. I want you to think of heaven, and I want you to think of hell. I want you to think of eternity with God in heaven and eternity separated from God in a place called hell. You have a mission as a believer in Christ to rescue as many of your friends, not just from the hell they're headed to, but the hell they're going through right now apart from a relationship with Christ. God has entrusted you with this grand message to reach your school for Christ, to take that hope to your friends, to bring those who are the bad, the broken, and the bullied, the hope that only Christ offers. What I see is when you tell a teenager that and you train them to navigate that gospel conversation, and you say, just like Yankee said to me, you're going to reach a world for Christ someday, young fella. You're saying, hey, young men and women, you can reach a school for Christ now. And you train them to do that.
Isn't
it
in
joy.
Some ways what you're trying to do now an expression in its own way of the Jesus movement?
Yeah.
Because in the late 60s and throughout the 70s, there was that similar apathy and lack of understanding.
It was
of
what the sex revolution, the peace revolution and activism.
And Greg Laurie's out there doing it by the hundreds of thousands now.
Out of that Jesus movement came the Calvary Chapel movement, came Harvest America, came this movement. I believe we're on the brink of another Jesus movement. Matter of fact, if you do a study of great awakenings, every great awakening in the history of the United States has had young people on the leading edge.
Greg, I just look at the clock and our time is gone. Let's pick up right here next time. And I would like you to review the history of the Great Awakenings. There have been two of them. It's time for a third. And if you count the Jesus movement, there have been that one and many others where young people have been the source of the passion that spread across the country.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? It was great. Not the old timers who had been, in seminary for years and all the rest of that. It came out of the youth movement, and you're an expression of it. Let's hear more about it next time.
Sounds great.
Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Greg Steer has been Dr. James Dobson's guest today on Family Talk. Greg is the founder and CEO of Dare to Share Ministries. The topic of the conversation has centered on the need for us who are older to share a clear presentation of the gospel message with young people who are growing up in a world where self has become the desired object of worship. We have reached the midpoint of their conversation, and we encourage you to join us again next time for part two of this discussion as Dr. Dobson and Greg Steer discuss the role young people have played in the great faith awakenings of the past and how we can engage youth to be a part of the next great awakening as well. During the conversation today, Dr. Dobson mentioned the book he wrote for teens and young adults preparing to navigate the challenges which were discussed today. That book is called Life on the Edge, and you'll find complete details on how to obtain a copy when you visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. While you're there, be sure you also click on the link for the website for Greg Steer's ministry, Dare to Share. That address is the word dare, the number 2, and the word share.org. Before we close for the day, this reminder about our new listener feedback line. Let your voice be heard with your comments about today's program or how the Ministry of Family Talk has helped enrich your own home. Dial toll-free 844-823-2669. Thanks for remembering that Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk is completely listener-supported. You can make your tax-deductible donation securely online when you go to drjamesdobson.org. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us again next time when Greg Steer from Dare to Share Ministries returns to discuss how the youth of the church today can and will help lead the next great awakening in the world. That's on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.